Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. This is our first show of 2021, so I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all our listeners a very happy new year, and it promises to be a very interesting year for sport, both here in Ireland and internationally. So hopefully we'll get our fans back in sporting venues by the end of the year. Something a bit different on the show today. There was very sad news on Saturday when it was announced that Liam Riley, lead singer of the popular band Bagatelle, sadly passed away at the age of 65. On the show today, I'm going to be joined by Brian Kennedy. Brian has recently written a biography about the band entitled That Summer in Dublin. And I'm delighted to say that Brian is joining me on the line. Brian, thanks so much for joining me today.
No problem, Patrick.
So, as I mentioned, sad news, though it was announced on Saturday. You would have, given that you worked on the book with Liam and the lads in the band, you would have got to know Liam quite well. Can you tell us, what were your memories of working with Liam in the process of writing that book?
Yeah, he was great. The consummate kind of professional. I obviously interviewed him dozens of times in person or phone, email, whatever the case may be. He wanted to get as much information about Bagatelle. Liam has always been a kind of a shy, introverted person. Ken Dyer, who was the bass player, was kind of, Ken is like a walking PR machine. And he likes that book. Liam and his family and friends were telling him, he always shied away from the limelight. It wasn't for him. But I got on extremely well with him in the times, the 3 or 4 years I had in putting the book together.
Yeah, and were you a fan of the band? Were you a fan of the band? So was it a sense of a labour of love for yourself writing the book?
Yeah, I mean, I was 11 years of age when someone in Dublin came out in 1980. I had actually approached Jim McQuillan, Bagatelle's manager, a few years ago, thinking that someone somewhere had wrote a book, and so I was surprised to find out that it hadn't. And I've done 13 books in the last 15 years, but I've never done a biography in anybody, which is a little bit outside my comfort zone, but I work well that way. So that was kind of the idea behind that. But I was always, first and foremost, I was always a fan of the group, and a lot of what I put into the book is, yes, a labour of love.
And you mentioned you've written several books before this. Was this an added pressure writing this book because you want to, given that the band have given you the green light and it's kind of an official biography, are you kind of pressurising yourself to kind of give a good account of yourself and kind of do the book justice?
Yeah, Patrick, you're probably right in saying that because of his biography, I wanted to get everything right. I think I gave the first draft up to the lads, and we put stuff in, we cut stuff out, and this went on for about a year. I nearly went to say it. Jack Daniels could have sponsored the book because the amount of it I drank while I was doing it. But you're spot on. I wanted to get it absolutely right, and I'm delighted that they are happy with the book.
Liam, the one thing that strikes me about him, listening to the songs, and I was listening to a few of the songs today and over the weekend, was the skill of the songwriting. So when you were chatting to him, did he give you a kind of sense, where did that skill come from? Was it something he worked on when he was young, or was it just a natural talent he had?
Just a natural talent, Patrick. He was winning like accordion piano contests way back when he was nipper. And one thing that I found about Liam that would differ from other singer-songwriters is that he tapped into, obviously with Summer in Dublin, but with songs like The Streets of New York, which the World Tones covered, Boston Rose and Flight of Arabs, he tapped into this the 1980s when Ireland was almost a third world country. We were paying 60 pence in tax. Youngsters my age were disillusioned. We went to Ireland, to England, America, wherever the case may be. And he seemed to tap into that with regards his songwriting. Summer in Dublin itself, if you look at the lyrical content of that song, it actually is what happened to him in one afternoon up in Dublin. So he had that trait as a singer-songwriter, which I think is slightly different to other singer-songwriters.
Yeah, and that song is, it's funny, I was walking down by the quays this morning. It was very early getting the bus into work, and there was a car going past, and it was blaring. And I said, what is the plane? And it was Somewhere in Dublin. And I just thought it was very fitting, given I think the funeral is Thursday morning, isn't it? So
Yes.
did he give you any like that song, like when people talk about the greatest Irish songs ever written, can he was that an easy process writing that song? Did he give you any insight into the writing of that song?
No, as I said, in the book, he'd actually been to see Spoonchan Rats, but I think it was a Moran's Hotel. But before that, the warm-up act he was looking at played Rock and Roll Never Forgets from Bob Seger. Then he found himself on kind of on Grafton Street. I was almost kind of hit by a bus. He took a 46-8 to Dunleary. There was a bus that told him how to get rich. And he tapped into that, so to speak. But he was very unassuming. When Bagatelle came out, when they were signed, first of all, by Polydor in 1979, they actually released Trump Card, first of all, and in Lane's words, it sold about 300 copies, and that was all the residents bought those books. But, so someone told him was something that had been lying around for a while. He actually won a small songwriting contest in Dundalk with that song, and John Woods, who was the boss at Polydor, he subsequently would end up signing the band. But as I said, there's a lot of strength. Wally McConville, a fantastic drummer. John O'Brien, John Passaway last year, the lead founder member of the group as well. They were an integral part of the group as well, as well as Liam, obviously, and Ken being the bass player.
Yeah, and I read a tweet you put out at the weekend talking about the band would have had tough times, like in terms of they weren't making a lot of money out of the business. So that really kind of makes you have an awful lot of respect for them. Like they ploughed through, like they wouldn't have an awful lot of money. They'd just be kind of making their way in the business.
Yeah, they just, and I mean, they obviously, I put that about the Gherkin sandwiches and the Kiddie Pies. At the time, the lads of Shelley, they went through the length and breadth of the country. And for little more than, they might have like pocket money when they came back, playing to maybe 10 or 15 people. And obviously, a couple of things changed. Obviously, when Summer Dublin came up, Polydor signed him. But Oliver Barry, who was, most people know Oliver, was a fantastic promoter. He was the man that brought over Michael Jackson to two concerts in Park and Queeve. He bought Prince over here for the first time as well. Oliver became the manager, and he took them from pubs into like national stadiums, big kind of arenas. The lads that Teddy supporting Bob Marley and the Raiders at Daily Mount was one of the highlights, where you had 20,000-30,000 people singing that Summer in Dublin back to him when they're on stage. That was kind of hairs on the back of the neck stuff for them and such, yeah.
And the Eurovision and did very well in the Eurovision. I think he represented Ireland once and wrote another song. I remember vaguely at the time there was a degree of controversy that there was a sense Ireland were kind of, was there some controversy about that Eurovision that I think it was the Italians won? Did he mention that or?
Yeah, I mentioned that. There's a chapter in the book called "Oh Cyprus, What Have You Done," which is dedicated to that. And basically, what happened is obviously somewhere in Europe was the song that he brought into the competition. He was one of the favourites to win, and with about four juries left, Italy were leading and slightly ahead of Ireland, and then ahead of France and Iceland. So the four of them were in the mix. I think it was the third or fourth last jury to come was the Italian one. Now, the Icelandic, French and Ireland juries had gone, so that favoured them. But as it turns out, the Italian jury came on and they announced themselves as the Spanish jury and decided that neither Iceland, France or Ireland got one single point.
Right.
I think it was Austria who were rock bottom got the points. But what killed that off is that Liam was about 12 points behind Torte Cugno, the Italian song, and the Cypriot jury gave Ireland nothing, but there was only three countries that gave Ireland zero, and that basically killed them. So I vowed never to go on holiday to Cyprus because
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, And I won't mind the song that won it sounded like a bag of cat seeds, right?
I've vague memory. Well, that's mad. You're talking about Cyprus Day. It was announced today that poor Mick McCarthy, he was over there managing. So, Cyprus is out for. And I might before I let you go, I might chat. I know you're a big Waterford City fan, and announced recently Kevin Sheedy, the man that scored Ireland's first goal in the World Cup back in 1990. He's taken over, and Mike Ewell, former Blackburn player, are you excited the prospect of them two taking the reins?
Yeah, definitely, Patrick. I mean, Lee Power's been there obviously a couple of years, and the last year or so, there was kind of a saga. Was he staying? Was he going? Mm. The crowds were down. We thought we'd be in a bit of relegation fight, but we got above that. So we really didn't know what was going to happen because we were leaving it late in terms of buying players. But Kevin Sheedy has worked abroad. Obviously, he's an Irish legend. I think Mike Newell, is a fantastic coup, to be honest. And I know they're trying to get Bastian Heary back from Linfield as well, but that's true or not. And they will be. Hopefully, they get their business done early before March or April when the league is back, because a lot of clubs, if they're buying clusters of players, we seem to leave a kind of later than usual. So once you can get them early, get them integrated, we certainly be looking forward to next year.
And what are you worried about the prospects, just the League of Ireland in general, because more so than any the Premiership over in England and a lot of the elite leagues, they need to get the fans back in. So do you worry about the league if fans can't get back in next year?
Yeah, that's just a genuine worry, Patrick, wouldn't you think? I think at one stage this year they allowed maybe 150 for 1 or 2 of the Waterford games. It's a big, big problem. Mm. This COVID has knocked us all sideways, like such. We're living in unprecedented times. Mm. And I would worry because I think the league came out and they said that instead of an early March, now looking at April because it's something to do with sponsorship. It's a big, big worry, to be honest about it. Obviously, we want the league to go seen, but we also want to be able to support our local side. Now, the watch LOI, the League of Ireland, was a godsend. They really enjoyed that.
Hmm.
That might be the case looking at that again next year. But yeah, it is worrying times, Patrick. I would agree with you.
Yeah, and finally, before I let you go, I want to ask you about. I mentioned the Premier League there, and a lot of Irish people this either support Man United or Liverpool or Leeds or the top teams, but you're unique. You support Exeter, and you've indeed written two books about your love of Exeter City. Can you maybe tell us briefly, Brian, where did that love of Exeter come from?
I've always been an Arsenal fan my life, but the Exeter connection came up about 30 years ago. I just happened to be over at the ground. I said I'd go over and watch him, because I had a cousin of mine that was living in Hull around 92, and I was staying with him. We went across to see at Woodbury Park, which is where Hull used to play, and the two teams playing happened to be Hull and Exeter City. Now, Hull won 7-1, and it was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in my life from Exeter City. So if you want the reason that I kind of latched myself onto him, you could say sheer and utter pity. But yeah, I decided after that, I said, look, wouldn't this be fun just to go over to their ground? I didn't know anybody as such, And I went into a pub, and the first person talking just happened to be the commercial manager of the club. So he brought me up the next day. I remember Exeter number one, and down to Blackpool, which was 95 minutes gone. I went down to the toilet, and we scored 2 goals in a minute. So I got the look of Irish kind of thing bestowed on me, and I've been coming back ever since. It's a lovely club. I enjoy going over there. It's an honour to write two books about them.
Yeah, and please God, when hopefully everything improves next year, you can go back over to watch the matches. That's great, Brian. For people that may be interested in picking up the book, where's the best place to get it?
I think up in Dublin, the best way, I suppose, you can buy it online on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. I know a quick way of getting the book as well would be my website, which is www.briankennedywriter.com. And I think it's the Winding Stair book shop on, I think it's in Lower Ormond Quay, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
they've actually stocked the book as well, and it's doing well. So if you're up in Dublin, that would be the place to go there. And it'll be, it's in selected kind of bookstores, but it's doing extremely well for us at the moment, and I'm delighted with that.
Well, it's a fitting tribute to a great, great, great songwriter. Listen, Brian, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. Enjoy the chat. Thanks a million. Congratulations on the book. And we might talk to you at some other stage later in the year, hopefully to talk about a good season for Waterford. So thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Patrick.
That's great. That's Brian Kennedy, author of a new biography about Bagatelle entitled That Summer in Dublin. It was announced, sadly, on New Year's Day, it was that Liam Riley, lead singer of Bagatelle, passed away.